Hello, Watch Nerds, and welcome back. This is your host, Nico, and today I'm talking to a guest I have very much in common with. We both did music when we were young guys. We both are quartz nerds. We both work very hard to make Nordic horology and Nordic watches known to the world. And we both can't afford our grails, at least not yet. I say hello and welcome to Morten Paulsen, the man behind Red Bar Oslo and Oslo Swap Meet. Hi, Morten.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. And you, Nico?
Good, good. Good, sunny, beautiful day. There is hope for the spring being around soon.
Yes, here too. And Oslo, it's really sunny now, but it was really cold this morning. So you get to taste both of it.
Yeah, we have to scrape the window of the car every time we leave the house. I don't miss that in the summer.
No.
So, Morten, you have a lot of hats you wear on a daily basis. You are the man behind the Red Bar Oslo and the man that is behind the Oslo Soap meeting together with your friend. What other hats do you wear? Tell us about yourself.
I'm a family father of two kids and a dog and a horse. And I have a main job, which is not into watches. I work with remotely operated vehicles in offshore industry, like a robot or submarine. And I have a really fun job with the Baumer Mercier, where I'm digital coordinator for Scandinavia and Balticum. So I'm basically fixing all pictures and videos for 22 shops in 8 countries. That's my side hustle. And then you come to Oslo Swap Meet at Red Bar, which is hobbies, I would like to say.
Hobbies that are taking just as much time and energy.
Yeah, maybe more time in period. If my job wasn't flexible, I would never have the time to do it.
Same here. How long have you been into watches?
Probably my whole life, but I can start thinking like when I got into watches as a kid, it was because I have family in Lausanne, close to Geneva. So in Geneva airport, everyone was been there, has seen a lot of watch commercial and a lot of watch shops on the airport. You kind of get it into your blood if you go there as a kid. It wasn't typical Omega and Rolex was the main commercials. It was the Hoyte Horologi. So you really got something to dream about. Special things, Parmigan, Fleur. I remember seeing all of those. I like it. I every time I land in Geneva, I'm happy from then to the from I arrive till I leave.
I almost forgot we have this thing called drink and wrist check. What's on your wrist and what's in your cup?
Okay, I'm gonna start with my cup. Today it's a Red Bar cup. I have lots of cups. I change every day. I got it from Denmark, Jasper. Thank you very much. Red Bar Oslo, I don't have any cups yet. But Red Bar Copenhagen, they have.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one now. And that's Friele coffee, which is from my hometown, Bergen. Very basic coffee, good. No, nothing fancy. And on my wrist, there is two watches today. There's a Romain Giron Titanic DNA and Kisa Design. In this sunlight, they really pop out.
Oh, definitely. And one of them is one of one. I saw your picture yesterday and I was like, how did he get that?
Yeah, by chance. Everything is always for sale as long as I'm not a millionaire yet. So even though I find something I hunt down for years, maybe, it's still, the hunt is the biggest thing. when the hunt's over and you got the watch, you either look for something else. You can't just sit, watch it, look at your watch. There's something else. There's 1,000 other watches you want and need, really.
For sure. Badly.
Yeah, all the time.
Funny enough, I'm drinking the same cup of coffee here. And then I'm also wearing one of one on my wrist. I'm wearing Micro Mil-Spec. Very, very fun watch, very unique watch. A lot of firsts I haven't seen before done in a watch, probably and most likely because this is a military watch meant for service use. And yeah, it's a experience like no other, definitely. So another flex, if you will.
Yeah, flex. That's a good thing.
We borrowed it for testing because we're going to have a Micromill spec as a guest on a podcast very soon.
That's going to be a treat. I'm looking forward to see that.
Thank you.
I really like what they do, and I've been visiting them quite a few times. And actually, during the launch of the Erling Braut Haaland watch, they made a one-of-one carbon fiber watch for him. They asked me to take photos of it. So my photos are in many big magazines like Fratello, and many of the international ones use those photos. I'm very happy to see it around the world.
Yeah. Now let's talk about Oslo Swap Meet. What is Oslo Swap Meet? Who is it for? And how did you come up with the idea?
The Oslo Swap Meet is for the watch enthusiasts, mainly, to bring together the people. After the pandemic, it was a bit hard to start up with Red Bar, the social get-togethers again. Not because it's hard to meet, it was just I wasn't inspired enough to use a lot of time to meet up 15 people or something. So one day, Torge, my friend who I run Oslo Swap Meet with, called me and said, I have an idea. We have been to like a car show that was a swap meet. You could go there and get some wheels and trade it for an old windscreen. And that was cool. We should do that with watches. And then we cooked it together with the swap meet thing and the meeting to have a get together and also a little watch fair. So it all started with a few beers, and we should do this, yes, of course. And then it kind of rolled on to, it got a bit bigger than we started with. But I think we are at a good space now. So
I mean, we were nearly 400 people. It was really, really packed.
Yeah, at one point, actually, I was thinking about closing the door, but it was just a 10-minute period where it was really packed, but it's because people were stopping at all the watches and spending time. So I believe a lot of the visitors had a great time and they got to see what they wanted. We started with maybe 70 people the first time, and the next time it was maybe 130, 140. And this time, I actually didn't use any campaign. I just posted stuff organic with the accounts I have on social media to kind of bring the awareness of the event to the people who like watches in Norway. And it kind of spread. People from all over Scandinavia showed up. So I'm really happy about that. It seems like people were wanting to have this kind of low-key, easy access watch fair. Yeah.
You said that there is no campaign. I beg to differ. There was so much information. There was so much post. There was so much build up in an emotional way that it was such organic and easy to consume and participate already emotionally before the event happened.
Yeah, that was kind of my mission, but I didn't pay for ads and stuff like that.
That way, yeah.
I did it organically with stuff I had from the last ones. I had pictures, I had some videos, and I kind of edited it to be able to capture the essence, like how will this be? Because when you haven't been there before, it's kind of hard to say, oh, I really want that. But if you see the video or the pictures, you feel like, yeah, this looks cool. I want to be there too. And I feel like that was, as you said, that was successfully. And then at one point, I checked how many people are looking at what I do. And on Facebook, we had a logarithmic scale.
Yes.
On 36,000% rise of awareness. Like over 35,000% of more people looking at it from 1 month to the next. So
it was well spread information. I have to say that it was clear where it is, when it is, who is coming. I was hooked. I was emotionally invested months before the event.
I love to hear that. It's like I did something the right way. It feels like that, yeah.
And who was there? What were the brands that were participating this year?
There was a mix of brands from Norway, Finland, Sweden, Switzerland, Germany, Canada. I can start with Finland. Jurmo watches. We had SUF Helsinki. And we had German guys from Sherpa. Kisa Design was there with his custom watches. And then from Switzerland, we had Zeitwinkel, which makes very more high-end watches, maybe.
With their own movement.
Yeah, Baume & Mercier was there. We had a Canadian brand, Marathon, which is military watches. Really big fan of them. We had Swedish Seligin watches. We had Norwegian watches from Valhalla, Bragdur, Vunduren, Radium, Cursus Watch Company, or The Sanders. It's in the middle of a name change.
Yeah.
The cards from Horologie Deck, which is the same brand as Cursus Victus.
I have mine right here.
Yeah, nice.
Unopened, cool. And this is going to be the giveaway for this episode. So, guys.
Oh, cool.
Check our Instagram if you want to get one horology deck. Just leave a comment that you have listened to the podcast and you'll get the deck.
Nice. That's nice of you. Did I get everyone then? And then there was the swap meet part where people bring their own watches and maybe stuff they don't need anymore. Commercial, like a book about watches or... framed in a picture of a Rolex painted, or maybe an old National Geographic Rolex commercial and stuff like that. So,
and there was a station that you can bring your watch and get a picture of your watch?
Yeah, we had a quite amazing photographer. He is a friend and local here in Oslo. He is Mr. Loomshot. His pictures are shown all around the world because he takes the most insane loom shots or macro shots. He is truly an artist, and he was doing it for free, so you could get a picture of your watch in his style. He had you could measure your watch accuracy at his station, and you could get checked the loom. He had like a powerful black light, so.
And then we had a book presented by two guys.
Yeah, a children's book about watches. It's not made to learn the watch for kids. It's more like a story about a watchmaker, a magical watchmaker. And that's, I like that concept. I contacted them actually. So they didn't know about the event. I just called them and said, you should be there. And they said, yes, of course, thank you. And they actually got
fantastic.
They got a shop to sell their book on the event, so they kind of got some more to do, more to sell.
Morten, how was this event different than previous years?
It has many things that made it different. Because we had the earlier events, we knew what to make better, and we knew what we were missing. So. To have a kind of a show during the show, we invited Christian Haagen and Klokkelandslaget with Jon Henrik and Nikolai. And they had a live recording of podcast from a kind of a studio. So you could sit down and listen to them, discuss watches and Haagen's story. That was very interesting. It is... It's easy to find it on YouTube and on podcast listening systems like Spotify. Klokkelandslaget, they are really fun guys. It's in Norwegian though, and Danish at that moment. And that was kind of a, not like a break, but I think we hadn't done that before, so that was interesting to arrange. I think some people came because of the famous Hagen and famous Jon Henrik and everything. And I believe that it was something different. And they actually made a podcast about the event also. They walked around with camera and a microphone, interviewed brands and people they met. And that was really interesting because you could see it from a different angle, especially for me, kind of busy that day, to sit down and watch how people felt. That was really good to see it afterwards. That was just the podcast. We actually had New York Times coming with a photographer and journalist, and maybe three Oslo newspapers. I was so happy to see people wanting to write about it and to make it publicity, to kind of spread the horology passion, which is why we do it. We make this event to have a social gathering of people with the same interest and to spread some, yeah, to show some brands they probably didn't see before. So the main point was to connect, to have a nice event together with people.
And it really was. And when you talked about the podcast, it was really, I would say cozy for the lack of a better word, but it was very intimate and it was very relaxed. You could ask Hagen your question and he would answer back. I wouldn't understand what he says, but because Danish is really hard, but it was very relaxed. I understood some of the questions because they were in Norwegian. It was very nice atmosphere and there was bunch of people, there was enough people to fill the room, so that's something I really appreciated as a add bonus to watch event.
Yeah, if I knew it would be that many people there, I would probably have bigger speakers for this part.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
then
it was a bit
probably
quiet.
Could hear the Danish better. As Norwegians, we understand some Danish, but it needs to be really loud and clear, maybe.
Yeah. And there was the swap part of the event. People brought their own watches that they can just display on the table there, and you can just pass by and say, "Hey, this is a watch I'm interested in. Can we trade or buy?" Or
yeah, that's one thing which in Norway we have something called the Wednesday Market. It's on online on Klokkeriet, the big Facebook page, and this thing we wanted to capture in the event to. You just trade, easy as it can be. Okay, this watch is 3,000 Norwegian, or maybe 50,000 Norwegian, or 500,000, whatever. You try to sell your watch, or maybe trade it. You get an offer. Okay, I would like that watch winder. I have this Seiko. Can we trade? And that happened a few times, but mostly I think people sold and bought directly. Like they had private exchange of money, so we don't have anything with the sales to do. They just fix it themselves.
And there were so many people. I think I counted like 15 people at least that were selling their own watches, and some of them brought like 10, 15 watches ready for sale, and one guy had two boxes of them.
Yeah. some people called me in advance and asked for a big table or something like that. So once before, there was one guy who had one of those big round tables full of watches. I said to him, that's probably going to be a bit hard to get that big space for yourself, but you can try. Just come early. First one, you get first served there. So there was a lot of nice watches. I didn't actually get to see too many of the stuff for sale, but one of the guys who has been there for all three events, he has a Bulgari, vintage Bulgari. I love that brand. With the bracelet. You know those, not octagon, but it is a really distinct bracelet with maybe 2 centimeter links.
Yeah.
I love that special piece.
And that's the point of the event. People bring what they like, and if somebody likes it, there is a connection.
Yeah. And even some people just had a few watches in the backpack. And when they started talking to people, they said, I got some watches. Do you want to see? And they bring out There was a blanc pas for 15,000 euro. So there is a there is a very easy, the whole thing, we wanted it to be easy to do and easy to come, even with your kids. If you, a Saturday is hard to get your time off from kids to go watches and stuff, so bring your kids.
Yeah.
So it's we didn't have entertainment for the kids, but if you have kids, you could probably get your walk through it, and then
there was a plenty of entertainment for everybody.
Oh, for kids, yeah.
But there are so many other Norwegian brands. Let's talk about Norwegian brands. How many Norwegian brands are out there?
Yeah, it's a good question, because there is quite a lot, but I can try to list. I will try to start with the brands we had in the event. Vondoren.
Yeah.
Bragdur.
Yeah.
Radium. Valhalla. Yes, and Amstok. That was four. How many did I have?
We have Bruvik, Vonduren, Radium, Valhalla, Bragadur.
Kursus Watch Company.
Yes.
I will say the Sanders, because there's coming a new watch and it will be rebranded as the Sanders. You really should look for that.
Yeah.
And then brands who didn't come this time, there is Liga watches, Alf Lee.
Yeah.
There is.
But Alf Lee is not that Norwegian anymore.
It was Norwegian and they made quite exclusive watches, but I think they sold out to Switzerland. So the Norwegian name brand is actually a Swiss owned brand now. So
what was the brand by Edox? What was that brand? The guys.
Yeah, Nordsee.
Yes, Nordsee.
Norwegian brand. It's made by Edox for Henning, which is Nordsee watches. And it's that's quite a good thing, because they make watches to honor the Nordsee divers, which kind of did the pioneering to make Norway quite a wealthy country. And every watch you buy from that brand gives some money to our community, helping out with the divers with health issues. So a lot of them got sick later after doing this job. And I don't think Norway has done enough for them. So you kind of have to private collect money for them, though. So.
Yeah.
So they do that, and they make some watches with the Nordsee brand, even a chronograph in carbon fiber, and a quite neat DLC diver, which is, it's not a tool watch, but still it's made for 320 meters, and the chronograph carbon fiber diver is for 500 meters. So they can handle quite rough use.
And then, what's your favorite Norwegian brand? I know you have a soft spot for Radium and Micromiospec, but what is your top favorite Norwegian brand?
It's kind of hard, because I like many of them.
I know.
But yeah, I am a really big fan of Bruvik. I have more than one watch from him, and I had many. I love the. He has also a North Sea inspired design. It's called Black Gold. The first version was in ceramic, and now he has a DLC watch, Black Gold 2, which I really like. Maybe I will buy it, actually. But also by Vondoren, the watch I use the most is their most affordable watch, the Vondoren Runda. So you have seen the purple I have, and the light.
I own the purple too.
I love them. And I just change straps all the time, and they pop out of this world. But I actually really would like to have the Il Tempo Gigante, because I'm a big movie fan of that movie. And I'm a car guy. I love cars, racing, and that watch has so many details. And I was lucky to see it in the pre-production stages, and I was really amazed by the movement and the quality they did on the case and everything. So I'm saving up for one of those. I have quite a few Norwegian brands in my home. I even have this quite new brand, but you know it very well, Bragdur. I have a DLC diver. It's made really properly. But I was going to say, yeah, you said it for me. Radium, that is my go-to. In the Norwegian brands, Radium Saboteur 2 is my watch. I use it so much that it looks like a vintage watch, but it's maybe 4 years old. It's plexi, so it's going to be scratched. And that's just fun because it shows it's been on something. It's been on a mission. And I use it at work offshore, and I use it when I go for the woods, and especially if I go to the woods with my camera, I enjoy that. So last year I made a cool video in the woods with my dog, and it was the watch inspired me to do that trip.
Gutta på skauen.
You need to check it out. The independent guys who tried to save Norway during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
They are very inspired by that. And,
I feel bad for asking you about your favorite Norwegian watch because I'm on the same page, kind of. I love Bruvik. I own Bruvik. I love Honduran. I have the Runde. This is one of the best 300 euro you could spend on Nordic watch because the quality of the crystal, the quality of the dial, the quality of the movement, all combined, there is no much margins there. There is so much value for the watch nerd that buys that watch. I absolutely enjoy the Radium. I enjoy their story, the quality of the product. I would love to learn more because I think there is so much potential in that brand to grow. Then Bragdur. Bragdur is a brand I'm personally invested because of the design. I love that. I love the design. I love straight strap handling. So I love the versatility that such a watch bring. You can put any strap on that watch and it will look fine. Comfort, durability. He has good supplier, so quality is never a problem. And then the way he invests himself in the watch community, the communication, the hype, the organic forth and back with the community, which is super, super important, and more brands should invest in that. And then we come to Von Duren. What he does not just in the watch business, but with the watch community, he wants to be the bridge between. He wants to make this watch association and somehow connect brands together between each other in Nordic countries.
He is passionate about the business for more than his own company. He's passionate about the Norwegian watchmakers, or the brands at least, because a brand doesn't need to be a watchmaker. They design and create watches, make them different places. Some in Norway, some in Switzerland, some in Sweden, some in China. Anyway, it's a really good thing what he does because he is so passionate, it will transfer to the people he meet.
Definitely.
The smile and everything, yeah.
I ask you about the favorite Nordic watch, but do you have a Grail?
Yeah, I am a true watch nerd. I have a Grail I probably can't afford in a really long time. Probably never, because I feel like it's too much money. But the biggest the brand I really love is Uhrwerk. And the watch, I tried it on a couple of times. First time in SIHH 2019, Uhr 105 in bronze. It is amazing engineering. There's so many details, and yeah, if I had like too much money, I would buy that instantly. That's it, my really big Grail. What about you?
Actually, to be honest, my people would expect that my Grail watch would be from Finland, and they will be right. I have a Finnish Grail, but the watch I desire the most is from Sweden. It's Halda Racing Chronograph.
And that's a technical piece.
That's a technical marvel. The There is so much I cannot cover it in a single episode, probably, because the way the case is designed, the implementation of the crystal is one of a kind. This has never been done in that way before.
Ah, cool. I've seen them, and I like the brand. I never looked at it like I'm gonna buy it, but I really like the racing thing with the brand.
Yeah, exactly.
Car racing.
If you're a car guy, you like this watch, and it's not only that. Having a piece of history, because Mikael is a guy that has done so much for the horology in Sweden. The R&D that company invests in is just mind blowing. What they do for NASA and for racing and all that. To have that on my wrist will be a privilege, and it's 15 grand or something. It's not impossible. Not impossible, but not today.
Yeah, I believe that's gonna happen one day, and I really hope that my grail will be possible. But I have this; it doesn't have to be expensive, and I like a lot of watches which is affordable. But the thing about that watch, it can't be replaced by anything that looks like it, or I can't like go to a micro brand and say, I don't need that Uhrwerk. I got this.
Exactly. That's exactly. You hit the nail on the head. That was is the same for me. There is nothing like it out there.
But I understand that if I don't do anything really crazy to suddenly turn out a millionaire, I don't really see myself buying that expensive watch. So I will survive without it, and I can just go to work and have a look once every 2 years. But that's okay. I'm not crying every evening because I can't buy it.
Morten, is there a strong horology and watch culture in Norway?
Yes, I believe there is. There is more than one way of the horology community in Norway. We both have the high horology passion, which people who love independence and see the true craftsmanship, and maybe collect Ludovic Ballard, Uhrwerk, or many other really, really cool brands. But they can also appreciate microband. When someone makes something really special, it seems like it's about how much they invest in to make that special thing like they want to make it. That's the more important thing. But there's also the watch community in its bigger scale actually seems like it doesn't need to be expensive. It doesn't really need to be an in-house movement. You love watches. It can be $50 or it can be $50,000 in the same comments or in the same dialogue. For example, on Klokkeriet, Luxur, or Tidsun, which is the main pages people talk about watches. And it seems like it doesn't need to be Rolex or Omega, even though those brands get a lot of hype. Most people actually love watches and not the brand, and that's a big thing in Norway, I believe. On Facebook, there is Klokkeriet, which is more than 80,000 members, Scandinavian language, and you have Luxur, which is a more distinct group, like less people but very passionate. You have Tidsun, which is the oldest watch community in Norway. They are both a forum and a Facebook page and a online news page and even podcast, which we talked about, Klokkelandslaget. There is more, but I think there's too many, but these are the big and maybe the important ones. But because of Red Bar Oslo, I actually meet a lot of the guys quite often. And the most of them show up to Oslo Swap Meet too. So they travel from different cities to join that. So I'm really happy with how that turned out. And I was amazed to see people flying in from Finland. Okay, I understand the brands that's going to show their watches fly in. But enthusiasts coming around with plane to have a look at the Norwegian small scale watch event, and from Denmark, and even some people from Switzerland, and yeah, it's
in UK. There was a guy from UK, and there's a bunch of people from everywhere.
Yeah, I was really happy when I got messages from different people from all around the world asking, can we join this? Do you have a special deal for hotel? And I was just, oh, okay. I didn't actually plan for people coming from different towns. I was believing
that's
everybody.
That's a great idea. The Watch Show Finland had this deal last year. I was able to benefit having a reservation in advance connected to the event. That's a brilliant idea. I hope you adopt that in the future. I think it's a very smart way to ease the choice and the decision to go to such event.
Yeah, that's up for the next.
How do you see the format develop in the future? Is it going to stay the same as it was this year, or will anything change and develop in a different way?
So I don't want to make it bigger. I just want to make it better. Me and Torge are going to have a meeting soon, and we're going to make sure that we get the things we wanted to do and probably didn't get in time or whatever. And next time will be just a little bit better, or maybe a lot better. I don't know. But not bigger.
I felt it was too short. I felt it would have been just two more hours would have been good, because I didn't have the time to speak with everybody I wanted to talk to. It felt a bit short, but that's just me. I mean, I'm this chatty guy that wants to meet everybody.
I understand you. For example, when there is a watch show, I normally get tickets for both early and late access.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I can stay all day. This one it's was amazing. Only one period. It was the reason why we made it like that was because the first time we did it, we had 1.5 hours. It was just, okay, let's just pack together. Let's just compromise it, put it together. The impact is bigger. Everybody has to come and be there for the 3 hours instead of people walking by the last hour. Just come, enjoy, and get out. That was all.
And get out and with a watch, preferably.
We didn't say a big part of this event, which only the brands and like you would see, is the thing that happens afterwards, which we feel like is just as important as the event. Is the dinner with the brands and exhibitors. Because, as you said, Øyvind Wunduren, he likes to put together the brands of Norway or Scandinavia. And what we do there is you socialize and you get some experience exchange between brands. Some brands have long experience and some are young. And that feels like a really good thing. We put together this dinner and 40 people are having a really good time, eating nice food, having some wine, and we end up with some brands even getting, they work together in the future.
Maybe. Instead of being just competitors.
Yeah, it's like, okay, they can compete, but also if they work together, they will get better results. And they Absolutely. Probably will learn something of each other. And that is a big part of it. And that's one of the reasons why we had to stop at a certain time, because we need to get ready for dinner.
Yeah. My takeaway, if I may, is this. I very much enjoyed the event itself. I also appreciated the build-up to the event. All the information, all the hype, it was very organic and very involved. I was really looking forward to the event before the event, and that's something I really much appreciated. And on the event itself, I appreciated all the different angles. It was not just one thing. You had the photographer to bring your watch to. You had all these tables that people were selling their own watches. You had the podcast, you had the exhibitors, and you had all the snacks and the cakes and the drinks. All this made for very, very good package.
It's very nice to hear. Thank you a lot. We really tried to make it one thing with the preparing of the event. I really want people to know that they can see something there. They want to get to know the brand in advance, then it's easier to maybe prioritize going to them and talk to them. It's hard for new brands or unknown brands to get the exposure. So just to bring out the Kisa design again, they make quite expensive watches, but they make a lot of it themselves. It's a custom watch. But in Norway, no one has heard about it. So I really would like people to just, okay, if you like that kind of design and that kind of colors, probably you should have a look when you come to Oslo Swap Meet. But I can't just do it with one brand. I spend just the same amount of info on every brand or book or cards or whatever, and make sure that people know what you're gonna see. But I don't show the news or anything, like if they have something secret. I just want them to know, well, this brand you should look into.
Yeah.
So, it's nice to hear that it worked. So,
any final words?
Yeah, I would like to say I'm looking forward to see you guys in Finland. The Watch Show Finland is soon up. And before that, I'm going to Switzerland to Watches and Wonders. And if anyone hears this and we meet up, just say hi. And be sure to check out my macro shots of the Runde at $300 watch.
Yes.
Have a look at Pulsogram.
I will include all the links to your accounts on our podcast notes. And thank you for coming. I really appreciate your time and appreciate all you have done for the Norwegian watch scene. And that's what I said in the beginning of the podcast, in the intro, that this we have in common. We spend a lot of time and energy to promote and to get Norwegian and Nordic brands known to the world. To the listeners, thank you guys for listening. If you have any questions, recommendations, tips, complaints, if you just want to chat with me and Morten, I will leave all these contacts in the notes as well. Until next time, remember, what's beyond horology is time and people. Respect them both. Goodbye.
Goodbye.